Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Know why Fairfax County police did not reveal this upon his arrest. We'll tell you about that and a little bit more next. First at 6:15.
This morning on the Chris Plant Show, Cardi B is very concerned about inflation.
How are people surviving? I want to know.
9 a.m. on WMAL.
Not every person who comes to this country illegally is a violent criminal. That must be said, obviously. Although everybody who does come to this country illegally, by definition, has broken our laws. Mm. Otherwise, they would not have come here illegally. That's just by definition. So we do know that there is at least one crime committed by every person in this country illegally, whether it's an illegal crossing of the border, it's an illegal overstay on a student or tourist visa, whatever it may be, they did break a law. But of course, that doesn't mean they're a violent criminal. That said, if you look at the criminal data, the crime data of violent crimes is specifically in this area conducted by people who were born elsewhere. The numbers of them who actually came into this country illegally versus legally is extraordinary. Mm. So when we hear a story of somebody who is in this country from a foreign land committing a heinous violent crime, like this person, Juan Rodriguez Alfaro, 42-year-old from Honduras, who was arrested on Monday after terrorizing women out on the walking trails of Fairfax County, it's easy to immediately jump to a conclusion without knowing for sure whether this person was in the country illegally or not. You've got it, and when it's not mentioned at all, when the immigration status is not mentioned in the initial reports, the first question is, I wonder if he was here illegally. Frankly, I think that's why law enforcement should be very proactive in announcing this immediately so that everybody knows. If they're worried about the stigma associated with being an immigrant in this country and being suspected of potentially being involved in criminal activity, if you're worried about that, there's a great way to absolve that or rectify that. When you arrest somebody, they're from the country, from another country, explain that they are here as a legal a citizen or a legal resident. Juan Rodriguez Alfaro, when he was arrested on Sunday night, Monday morning by Fairfax police, they made no mention of his status. We talked about it in the context on the program Monday with a lot of other crimes, including a beheading of a woman in California by an illegal immigrant who had been here 10 years from Venezuela. And we said, you know, Fairfax County is a sanctuary county. They go to great pains to make sure that, you know, all are welcome here. We make no distinction. We'll protect you from ICE. We won't work with ICE, all those things. Like, gee, I wonder if this guy was here in the country illegally. Now we know he is in this country illegally. The person who was terrorizing women on the Old Dominion Trail outside of Washington in Fairfax County has been in this country from Honduras and has been actually deported three times, but has been back again, and Fairfax County, of course, does not cooperate with ICE.
Those are the stats that always surprise me, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised, where you hear about these heinous crimes and the terrorizing of individuals, and then you find out they've been here and deported multiple times. Well, again, and I take your point very well, that not everybody who comes here, other than having broken a law illegally entering this country, not everybody's a violent criminal. But if they can come here and they know there's no consequence for coming here illegally, what prevents them from these other offenses, from seeking out or living out their worst desires, I guess you can say?
You send the message immediately that we don't care about the rule of law here.
Absolutely. And by not noting publicly that this is someone who was here illegally, that gives this sense, this false sense of security to people.
Yeah.
Oh, there's millions of people crossing into our country illegally, but they're all well-intentioned, good people who are just here seeking a better life. Well, many of them may be, and let's have a conversation about our immigration laws and policy to talk about that.
Yeah.
But by not ever talking about what happens when you let lawlessness reign supreme, then people have this false sense of security, and these types of things happen when people should be able to run safely on a running trail.
Fairfax County, Montgomery County, Prince George's County has sanctuary status. They do not cooperate with ICE, and they specifically go out of their way to not reveal the immigration status of people who are born in a foreign land and arrested for a violent crime. And yet, eventually, when the numbers come out, you find that a huge percentage of those who are committing murder, who are committing rape and sexual assault and lewd, lascivious acts like this person, they, in fact, were here in this country illegally, and oftentimes multiple repeat offenders. There was a time recently, I remember, and I haven't looked at this stat in a while, but I can tell you within 4 or 5 years ago, in federal prisons, The number of people who are incarcerated who are non-citizens, 25% of them were in the country illegally. If they're a non-citizen and they've been arrested on a federal crime, over one in four at the time were in fact illegally in this country. It just goes to reason that if you're breaking those laws and there is no one, as you say, there is no enforcement and there is a message sent, yeah, we'll send you back, you come back, we'll send you back, we'll send you, and there's no actual legal ramification, it sends the message that our country doesn't care about the law and therefore, who's going to stop me from breaking this crime?
They know the game better than we do. And again, what's the domino effect? We talk about overcrowding in prisons, which is the reason why you see these criminals commit these offenses, illegal or otherwise, and they're let out within a few hours. Well, I know how we could clear up some room in our prisons by having a secure border.
Thank you.
Sounds like.
And all those women who were terrorized on this walking and running trails. And my heart goes out to them. I have daughters. I have a wife. They like to exercise. I have friends who wake up early in the morning and want to exercise. We saw what happened to the horrific woman down in Memphis. This is a terrible situation. The women who are out in Fairfax County who were terrorized by an illegal immigrant in the sanctuary county of Fairfax, whose law enforcement have been told to not cooperate with federal officials who enforce immigration laws. I bet you most of them voted for those policies themselves through their elected representatives. I hope they feel better. It's 6:20. John Fetterman's back in the news, and we've got an update. Apparently, there's this group in D.C. called NOPE, which says they're a clearinghouse of practical information for D.C. residents who don't have congressional representation and others on how to take action to resist Trump. So there you go. And they do these Zoom interviews of candidates. And in the middle, at the end of the interview, this representative of NOPE here in D.C. asks what they can do to help John Fetterman win in Pennsylvania.
Tell us what we here in D.C. can and the surrounding areas can do to help you win.
Oh,
it's hard to argue with that.
Clear as day. I know
that was a call to action right there.
Oh,
All right, done. We'll help. And so they wrote the check. By the way, he was also, you know how Biden campaigned from his basement? John Fetterman seems to be campaigning from a dungeon.
We were saying this looks like this needs mold remediation.
Yeah, it's bad. All right. More on Fetterman. He's agreed to a debate. We'll tell you about those details. And Stacey Abrams back in the news next.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. A Cumulus Media station.
Making sense of the news.
News Talk 105.9.
News now. Now.
On News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
It's 6:36. Thanks for joining us here on O'Connor and Company. At 7:05, we'll talk to our friend Gordon Chang as the leaders of China and Russia meet. Why should we be worried about that? At 7:35, Steve Knotts, chairman of the Fairfax County Republican Party. 8:05, Michael Huff, running for county executive in Frederick County. And then at 8:35, the attorney general of Virginia, Jason Miaris. I'm Larry O'Connor. Cassie Smedley, executive director of America Rising PAC, is with us all morning on a busy morning.
Happy Friday Eve.
There it is, Friday Eve. I like that. Joining us right now is Samuel Gross. Excuse me. He is a candidate for Manassas School Board, and we're focusing on many of the school board races in this area leading up into November, especially those races where your vote can make a huge difference, and that is definitely the case in Manassas. Samuel Gross, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you, Larry.
So I understand you're a Marine Corps veteran.
I am, 1999 to 2003. I served in Kosovo, East Africa, and Somalia, and Iraq.
So how do you go from Marine Corps to the school board? Because, I think we do need a few more Marines involved in our public schools, but it is not the normal path. Walk me through it.
Yeah, so after I left the Marine Corps, I had about 1 week to find a job, which I couldn't find one back home in Ohio. And somebody told me about this GI Bill thing, and as long as I got good grades, I got a paycheck. So that's how I made it happen. And 9 years later, they gave me a PhD in mathematics, which your listeners should know stands for piled higher and deeper. But I spent several years as a full-time faculty member in Bloomsburg University. And I came down to this area in 2015 to follow research in cryptography. I've been doing that ever since.
And so then how did you get yourself here to the school board, running for school board? How did that pop on your radar?
Yeah, so I've been teaching at the college level for over 16 years now, and I've watched a steady decline in the quality of students coming into my classroom. And then this is compounded by the fact during the pandemic, my own children went from A's to F's during the pandemic. And it's just not right. And the policies that we saw coming out of that period to rectify this involve purposefully lowering academic standards. And I should say, as a college professor, that standards are set by the subject matter, not by the teacher, right? The standards for engineering are set by what it takes to build a safe bridge or a safe building.
Right. You know? You can change the standards, but if the bridge comes falling down, you didn't do a job. Yeah,
and there's a couple of very strong compounding effects to those policies then. One of them has to do with equal opportunity. I grew up very poor in a rural town in Ohio on a farm. We didn't own our own land. And academics is the only way for upward mobility for a lot of these kids. That's what I'm hearing when I knock on doors in Section 8 housing here in Manassas. Parents get it, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you rip the rug out from under students whose only opportunity is academics, upward mobility, generational wealth, generational poverty, all of those issues are solved by education, right? And so when you lower the standards, they've got no chance in college or no chance in the workforce. They'll get laughed out of a job. Right, so you're not just stripping them of upward mobility, you're robbing them of their career choices, you're robbing them of their future livelihood for them and their families.
We're speaking with Samuel Gross, and his website, by the way, is sam4schoolboard.com. That's with the number 4, and he's running for Manassas School Board. So what changed there in Manassas for you in your observation that they're no longer looking at that? What is the priority if the priority is not standards, education, and making sure the kids are getting, you know, the great education as they graduate from Manassas schools?
Yeah, so the first thing we can do if we're trying to get back on track, Manassas had one of the better school districts over the last 10 years, and it's been a rapid, steady decline. But one of the first things we can do to get back on track is actually admit where the track ended. So our current school board won't even release any of the testing data from before the pandemic. So they tout the recent uptick, you know, right now as some great big success, but we're so far behind where we used to be. So, you know, we gave a candidates forum yesterday morning to the Manassas Business Association, and our opponents tried to convince us that change takes time. And I agree, change does take time. But something that can immediately be done is change direction on November 8th.
Yeah, I like it. And I think it's notable that your slogan is Mathematician for Manassas. And I think a lot of what you're talking about is let's get back to the basics. We've talked about it here of reading, writing, and arithmetic. You're talking about these low test scores, particularly underscored by the pandemic. And are you seeing that when you say talk about changing direction, that we've lost our way in terms of the curriculum in these schools?
Absolutely. I get college students that have never once had to do homework. In mathematics or otherwise. So they have zero experience thinking for themselves, pulling an idea out of thin air and convincing themselves and others that it's going to work.
So
not only is that affecting academic standards, but that's also the easiest, most effective way for parents to be engaged with the education process.
So you're
right?
Seeing
so you're robbing parents too.
You're seeing the end result in the students in your classroom in college, and you're certainly seeing the end results with the students that your own children. So, I mean, obviously the school board members who ran for election and wanted to have this job, they show up for meetings, they do stuff. What are they doing? I get that this is my fundamental thing. If they're not doing that, which is the basics of running our state-run schools, what are they doing with their time, Sam?
So they're choreographing a wonderful drama is what it is. So you'll hear very scripted questions about some of these proposed policies before they vote. The superintendent will give a very scripted answer with very detailed information, reading it off a card, and then a follow-up question is asked with very scripted information in response to that specific stuff. So they're deciding behind closed doors what these policies are going to be. They're giving a charade of debate and discussion to pacify the public, right? And then it's happening, right? You know, we're in the middle of a teacher hiring shortage, and they're prioritizing race and gender for hiring over qualifications and filling this gap. In fact, I just learned that I believe it was Weems Elementary, every fourth grade teacher quit because of issues of not being supported in the classroom and disciplinary issues with students.
Well, they're going to hate having you on the school board, so we are all for it. It's sam4schoolboard.com with the number 4, and let's shake things up at the Manassas School Board as we take back these schools that we pay for our children. Sam, good luck with the race. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Larry.
Cassie Smedley, I hope you're getting a feel for what we do here every morning. It's so fun. We interview presidents, presidential candidates, ambassadors, cabinet secretaries, senators, and then we interview people who are running for school board, like Samuel Gross, who just, you know, want to make a difference.
Arguably some of the most important interviews you do.
Absolutely we do. And no one else focuses on it the way we do. By the way, we're making a difference here. Sam was on the show before, Samuel Gross. Mm. Facebook is now blocking links from his site out of Facebook into his site. And his opponents on the school board are trying to intimidate local businesses in Manassas to take their signs down. Things are getting real. And
you know you're making sense when.
That's right. Exactly. So sam4schoolboard.com. That's with the number 4.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.